Live from the WGY studios every Sunday, this is the Paul Potrat Show.
Stop spraying and praying. You're wasting money.
Millennials aren't lazy. It's how you lead them.
When you sell by price, you die by price.
The Paul Potrat Show, helping your business grow and stay relevant.
Covering the latest technology for business, leadership trends, and changing your mindset on marketing.
Now, your hosts, Paul Potratz, the business architect, and Samantha Zewalinski, the millennial entrepreneur.
In today's hour, our actionable topics are, will Amazon put you out of business? How to keep the best employees, and how to improve a process in three easy steps. So let's talk about that first. Is Amazon going to put businesses out of business?
You know, this is really an exciting topic for me, and as it is for you, Samantha, too. But I mean, think about this. How many times have we had clients or prospective clients be all nervous about what Amazon's doing? And I mean, it's kind of old news now. It happened not that long, just a couple weeks ago, that Amazon bought Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. So I posted a question on Facebook and on my Facebook profile, and I said, is Amazon buying Whole Foods, is that going to affect local grocery stores in your market? And I received a lot of comments. So what do you think personally? Is it going to affect local grocery stores?
I think Amazon's affected really every way of life that we have in regards to purchasing things. I mean, Amazon has Prime Pantry. We know that. I've never used it. Have you ever used it?
I have not, but I've definitely looked at it.
I have friends that live in New York City, and they're crazy. They order everything online.
Yeah.
They tried Amazon Fresh. So that's the same similar initiative of you order your groceries online, pull up and have them put them in your car. So I think the acquisition of Whole Foods is going to definitely give them an advantage. Because, I mean, for example, there's one here in Albany. What if you could do that same thing? Order all your groceries online, pull up, or even have them delivered to you in 2 hours. That's one feature. Select cities have that. Honestly, I think that's a competitive advantage.
Well, I agree. But I think there's a much bigger picture than them buying Whole Foods other than shipping food to your home. And I think that's what a lot of people fail to understand. What exactly is Amazon doing? Amazon has Amazon Echo, where you more or less have like a Siri in your living room and you can order stuff through it. You know, Echo, what's the weather? Echo, what's this? Echo,
you're driving order some people crazy right now.
Yeah, I know, no doubt. Echo. But anyway, so what they're doing is they're capturing data, they're capturing user behavior, they're understanding what is it that we like, what is it that we want, and not to creep anybody out, but they're recording the dialect of our voice, our speech impediments, our purchase habits. It's tied to our credit card information. What I'm talking about is big data. So it's a much bigger spend than, hey, we're just going to start shipping stuff out. They're going to know so much about us, and they already know so much about us. So that's what's happening on the one part. The other part that Amazon is really good at, guess what that is? Take a guess.
Predicting our needs,
but process. And that's why, you know, you think about it. I mean, there's many a times that, you know, I need something. I go to Amazon's app. I do the, you know, my one click it and it just comes. I don't have to think about it. And it just shows up, and it's pretty predictable if it's Prime. So they have a really good process. And that's where businesses are failing, is they do not have process.
So we're talking about if Amazon will put you out of business. And really what it comes down to is you need to have a better process to be competitive.
Right. And I mean, so, and let's kind of dive into that a little bit. I mean, think about it. If you're a bookstore, Amazon's affecting you. I mean, there's no doubt that Amazon's affected your business. If you're in the music industry, Amazon. If you're Audible Books, it's affected your business. So you think about that as a business owner, is Amazon really in that circle? And I heard a rumor. I don't know if this is true, but I just heard a rumor.
Here we go.
Yeah, for real.
Rumor. We need to censor this.
Yeah, no doubt. But that Amazon is considering purchasing AutoNation. AutoNation being one of the largest dealer groups in the country, and purchasing AutoNation. So you know that, you know, the automotive industry, car dealers are like, oh boy, they're going to start selling cars online. Well, guess what, guys? That's already started to happen. It's happening in California with Hyundai. Then they do something with Cadillac too, or something like that.
Well, I think the thing is really here, you know, Amazon's always is going to keep feeding into any industry if they haven't hit it yet. They're just taking their time getting there. They're making that process. So when they get there, they do it well and they do it right.
Yeah. And the key word is process. So the question being, is Amazon going to put you out of business? The answer, quite simply, yes. It's going to put you out of business.
But there are things we can do as a business to stay relevant, as you say all the time, to get a better process, and to really create a competitive advantage to Amazon. I think there's a lot of things that our traditional brick and mortar or website based companies can do to be competitive in that space. Right. What are a couple of them?
Yes. So, but with that said, I mean, I'm just saying it again, they're going to put you out of business. That, just pack your bags and go. It's simple as that. And of course, I'm using that as a shock value, and people are wringing their hands right now, you know, oh my gosh, Amazon's doing this. But, and the reason that I say that is because for some reason that once we get out of, you know, get out of college, we quit learning. We decide that, hey, I'm earning, I'm not going to learn anymore. And we get stuck in a mindset that this is the way we're going to do it. And we keep on repeating the same thing over and over and over, doing the same process. It's kind of like we're reliving the seventh grade over and over and over, that we won't adapt. And that's why it will put you out of business if you do not adapt. If you adapt, it's going to make you more money. It's as simple as that. Let me give you a quick story really quick. So I have dogs. I love dogs. You see that on my Facebook page. And you get to experience the office when they slobber on you. But I could order the dog food at, you know, off of Amazon, one click it shows up. In fact, I can order that dog food, the special dog food, because my dogs are very special. They're my fur babies. And I can order it for less on Amazon than I can if I go to like a local, because my food's a little harder to get. It's not that I can't get it at the grocery store. But I pay less on Amazon. I would pay more at one of the retail places that sell it. But I love the customer service at the retail place. But I found this other company. I have no idea where they're at. And they give a beautiful experience. So I just came across, and that would... came across their website on accident. It came through, I found it through social, and went to their website and I signed up, and they just automatically shipped me the food. They just fulfill it. I don't have to worry about it, and it shows up. Well, I called in one time because the dogs ate the food quicker than I thought, so I needed to get it shipped. I called in, the young lady answered the phone. She was so happy. I could hear her smile on the other end of the phone. She was so helpful. She was talkative. She asked me about my dog. She asked me their name. She, you know, asked me how old. She engaged me. And I felt a connection to this company now because of this one individual and how she handled the call and how she was helpful. I mean, it was a fabulous experience. So I feel obligated to do business with them. And since then, I've called in two more times and the experience has been the same. So they have process. They have process in shipping. I'm paying more for them, but their shipping is super fast.
Well, they're providing value.
It's fast shipping, free shipping. I pay more for the dog food, but I get free shipping. So there's a psychological thing. They have a nice website. They focus on dogs and cats, and that's it.
And they have customer service.
So they've hit all the things. So they've really kind of created their own Amazon strategy is what they're doing, and it's working for them. And I mean, their branding is perfect. Their branding's consistent. I know their name. I mean, I get emails from them. So there's a lot of things. So let me give some pointers real quick. Okay. The first thing, can Amazon put you out of business? Yes, if you don't change your mindset. If you change your mindset, then here's some quick things that I've seen that what people are doing. And that's that they're using Amazon to start the first sale. So you're buying it off Amazon, but now they have a strategy in place that, for example, I just bought some light bulbs on Amazon.
Light bulbs, really?
Yeah, isn't that exciting? That's really exciting.
Riveting.
Bulbs. Yes, it is. So, but with the light bulbs, they were Edison bulbs. A little different, okay?
So at least they were cool light bulbs.
Yeah, cool light bulbs for the garage. But anyway, so I get an email from I think his name's Jake. And Jake is the CEO of this light bulb company. And in this email, very personable, it says, hey, we're a small company. You know, our sale, you know, whatever, our success depends on you. If you're not happy, you know, here's my personal number. Call me. Here's my email. Call me. Please don't go to Amazon and leave a negative review, because a lot of times it's just a miscommunication and we can resolve it quickly. And I've received emails to the point of annoying. but that's fine. Because now I went back and I had to purchase more light bulbs, and I knew exactly. I went to Amazon and I bought them, but I looked for that specific company. So what they're doing is they're really, really working with me to get me to not purchase on Amazon, because I'm getting emails and I can purchase directly through their website. So they really used Amazon as a loss leader in a sense, but I didn't pay a less price than what I would have paid on their website. It's just Amazon takes a percentage of the money.
And I think a lot of people are afraid to put their product on Amazon because Amazon takes that percent. But if you have a really good process and a fabulous customer experience, what you're really saying is you can then retain that customer after the sale off of your own website instead of on Amazon.
Right. Yeah. So use Amazon as it really is a mechanism to drive, you know, international or national exposure to your company to bring them in, but then have a process after the sale.
And I think one thing that you mentioned here was you had an email, a letter in the package that was from the company itself, really communicating and beginning that customer experience for you and for them, really. And I think one thing, too, is a lot of businesses are afraid of negative reviews. Don't you feel that way? Everybody's afraid somebody's going to say something bad about them because it hurts our sales opportunities. Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing you mentioned, and this has happened to me, I ordered a piece of jewelry. Yeah, I know, jewelry off Amazon, but I ordered a dress the other day. I never thought I would do that.
Right.
But when I got the package, it was two-sided. It was just a little business card pre-printed, but it was signed by whoever packaged it. Of course, that's pre-done. But the thing that was great about it was it said, hey, call me if you have any questions or a problem with this order. And then, you know, on the other side, it was, if you loved this, we'd love to hear from you. Please leave us a review on Amazon. And that's that experience, because when you're frustrated by something, you feel like you want to go read a review because you want people to hear you, but you really want the problem solved. And the easier the problem is solved, the better. People go to Amazon and leave negative reviews because nobody's there to take their call.
Right, exactly. And I mean, and you bring up an interesting point too, like where it had the letter in the box and everything, and this company with the light bulbs. And I mean, I buy a lot off Amazon, but when the box showed up, the box was branded too with the company name. The tape that taped the box was branded with the company name, and it had a cute little slogan and everything to get you over to their website. You get into the box, there was the letter in the box, the emails coming. So they had everything. They had a process, everything working together. So I have, you know, top of mind awareness of this company now that I won't forget this company name. And the next time somebody says, oh, hey, I'm putting some new lights in my house, in my garage or whatever, I'm like, oh, you should get some Edison bulbs and this company's really good.
So for those that are just tuning in, we were talking about, well, Amazon put you out of business, and simply the answer is yes. But with any business, you need to continue evolving.
Right.
Or anybody will put you out of business.
Yeah. So Amazon, you know, and I said that, will it put you out of business? Yes. Yes. If you keep the same mindset, it will put you out of business. No. If you adapt. And, you know, so many people get hung up on, or business owners get hung up on, well, I don't want to pay Amazon any money. Okay. Then spend money on pay-per-click to drive traffic to your website and maybe or maybe not get a lead. So look at it that way. So, I mean, Amazon, I think it has a lot of opportunities. Is it going to affect your business? Some of your businesses it already is affecting. Just understand, how can I maximize? How can I evolve? How can I grow? How can I increase my profit margins?
Can I throw something out at you?
Yes, do.
Okay. So you mentioned a bookstore, right? So
yes.
You mentioned books, music. I remember going to buy CDs. We don't really do that anymore. Even books. I buy books on Amazon all the time. But if I'm a local bookstore, what would be a way that I can make an impression, even in my community, to drive some traffic?
So just so you said you don't buy CDs anymore, I do know one guy in the country that buys CDs.
And he works in our office, doesn't he?
Yes, Kurt. Kurt buys CDs. All right. So what you would do is with a bookstore, I mean, books are very emotional. I mean, you know, we kind of more or less tell our personality by books. So with a bookstore, you want to create that tribe, that social following. You want to have events. You because that's the thing. People want places to go and things to do, and we want to engage with others.
They want a community.
Yeah, we want to connect. But we get lazy as business owners sometimes. So you want to allow them to connect. So I'd say build a huge social following. Be, you know, and not a social following where you're trying to sell a book, but you're being engaging. And I mean, what better way than storytelling? And, you know, there's a lot of different ways, and we can definitely talk about that. They can go to Facebook and ask questions. We can evolve on that. But build your following. I mean, have like a book clubs, have your, you know, your cappuccino club. Come on in, guys. We're going to have cappuccino and cigars.
Events to get people through the door and be a fixture within your community.
Yeah. I mean, and think about that. So as you're doing this, say, okay, you know, for example, I mean, in our market, I don't know if there's any cigar bars, you know, create a cigar bar and have talk about books. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out there, but, you know, create the cappuccino experience. And you, my point is you will reach all of these various demographics of individuals. And now you create word of mouth. You have a really good, strong following on social. I mean, the goal on this is really to go after social and find some different profit centers. So if you're a bookstore, do sell on Amazon, but create a cool profit center. Maybe it's, you know, you focus on jazz books. So that's one of your profit centers. Or you focus on some different, you know, rare books. So there's my advice.
So I want to get into that a little bit more in our next segment, because we're going to talk about process, and you just kind of touched upon it, but there's some things we need to do internally to be able to make sure that we can evaluate our process and retain our employees. But if you're just tuning in, you can now listen to the Paul Potratz Show on demand. Just search the Paul Potratz Show for free on the iHeartRadio app to listen to this week's show or any archived shows, all on the free iHeartRadio app, available on most smartphones and devices, or at paulpotratz.com. So let's get into that. Let's talk about how to hire, train, and retain employees.
Samantha, process. But I want you to say process differently. Are you ready?
Process, like process, Canadians.
Like our Canadian friends. Process. So process, I mean, let me give you just a really quick analogy, okay? Let's say that you broke your arm. You broke your arm, you go to the emergency room, and you're in excruciating pain, the bone's sticking out.
Oh, really painting a visual there.
Yeah, I'm painting visuals. That's what we have to do, paint a visual. Your bone is sticking out, and you're in a lot of pain. Do you want to go into the emergency room that just, hey, we just opened up today, and here's our new staff, and we're figuring things out?
Well, that figuring things out is not confidence-inducing.
Yeah. Or, hey, we just brought some new people in. They're new, and we're figuring things out.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of businesses lack process or process, and they don't have process. I mean, a lot of times businesses think they have process because they trained on a process of this is how you do it, and they trained two individuals how to do it, but then you've hired five more, and those two didn't do it, and now you've got this free flow that everybody's just going commando.
Everyone's out in their own little spaceship. Right. I think one thing here too, though, is even when talking about process, we need to talk about how we train people as soon as they come in the door. And then we can't forget about the people that have been there.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. And I mean, I think a good example talking about how we have process at our ad agency of how we create that process. I mean, because think about it. I mean, we're doing digital marketing. We're doing social media marketing. We're placing media. I mean, we're responsible for millions of dollars every single month of clients' money in building their strategies. And if we didn't have process, there could be a lot of mistakes being made that could not only put us out of business, but could get us fired.
Cost us a lot of money.
And our clients a lot of money. So it's process is important. So, you know, talking about that, and I mean, I think the way we figured it out, the brainchild that we put in place, I think it's a beautiful thing because, I mean, you're getting ready to go off and do a lecture talking about millennials and how turnover. I mean, what is the cost of a turnover? When you lose an employee, what's that cost a company?
On the low end, it's a minimum of about $20,000.
So you think about that. If you're having turnover and you're losing, you know, 1 to 2 people per month, $20,000 to $40,000 on the low end, depending on, you know, what the, you know,
what their job skill set requirements are, all of that make a factor.
Yeah. So you're losing money. And a lot of times businesses don't want to spend money on training, that they won't put money into training. And I mean, and that's a thing. I mean, you know, as a business owner, I'm always looking at the bottom line. How much are we spending on training? And it seems like that's a really easy thing to cut. Oh, let's just cut back. My people know what they need to do. They've been here for, you know, Dan's been here for 12 years. He knows what he needs to do. No. Industry is changing. It's evolving. You always have to be training. So let's talk a little bit about our apprenticeship program.
So we created this. Oh my gosh. How many years ago was it now?
It was, and we created it because of a demand. Mm-hmm. We were in demand that we needed individuals that could do search engine marketing, that they could run the campaigns, place the campaigns. And a lot of people thought they could, and we'd bring them in, and we found out that they couldn't. Mm-hmm. And instead of just bringing somebody in and throwing them in there to do it.
We need strategists too. And I think that was one of the things that was really the cause for it, was needing them to know the digital and then understanding industries that we were in. So what we did was we created an apprenticeship program, and it's evolved over time, and it's now a 6-month training program that potential employees come into. So they're not even guaranteed a job that whole time. But what they do is they come through the door, and it's a 6-month training program where they walk out the door or into our company as a full-time employee with the skill sets to know how to run social media, digital media, traditional media campaigns effectively, and also talk to clients, because that's a big thing a lot of people haven't done before either.
Right, true. And I mean, and it is a paid, it's a paid training program.
Yes.
So what we're doing is we bring these individuals in and we pay them to train them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I like about it though too, is it allows us to really learn their personality and see if they're a good fit for the company, if they have our vision.
And if we're a good fit for them, because honestly, sometimes the answer is no, and that's true, perfectly fine. So I think a lot of companies, and this can maybe be something we talk about in another week, is the hiring process. We're so quick to get through the hiring process because we feel like we have a need to employ somebody for a specific position. And then we just give them the basics. We don't train them and say, hey, go do this. And then we get frustrated as business owners, managers even, that they can't do it. But it's because we didn't run them through that training process and make sure that they could not only absorb the training, but then do it effectively after. And I think that's a big part of the apprenticeship program, is they train on a topic and then they go and do that topic. So it's reinforcing what we train them on.
Right. And I mean, and they're not working on clients' accounts, so it's not like we're getting cheap labor or anything like that. They're actually training all day long, 5 days a week. And it allows us, and I mean, and I like the way we do this, because it's a, with the 6-month program, and for them to be able to get into it, though, they've got to do written tests, verbal tests, interviews, phone interviews. It's not a walk in the park. And, you know, generally we start with what, about 8 people?
Mm-hmm.
And how many do we end up hiring out of that program generally every time?
1 or 2. And honestly, by the end of it, we probably only have 75% of those individuals that make it the whole way through. And that's not the goal. I'd love for everybody to make it through.
Either they
weed themselves out, or we weed them out, because it's an extended job interview.
It really is. And I mean, because it costs us money. Yeah, because we have individuals that are trained already in our office that are training them. So that's part of adding to their schedule of what they're doing. But it's well worth it.
And I think it works really well too, because they get to experience the company as if they were, and because they are an employee. So I think you mentioned it, we pay them. They're part of the team. They come to the team meetings in the morning. They go to the staff meetings in the afternoon. They do everything that they would if they were a full-time forever employee.
Right, exactly.
So make them one of the team. And that's it too, though. So, right, we have a team, a staff of employees, or even one employee, but continuing that initiative to train them is something really important. That's actually one of the top reasons you don't retain a millennial.
Right, yeah, because they don't have training, they don't have direction, they don't have a growth plan.
You're not growing them.
Yeah.
You're not leading them. You're not providing information and feedback.
So let's give three tactics of how you can find out if you're lacking process. What do you think?
Okay. Right. So I think we should probably do something internal with our existing team to figure out what our process is, right? Because a lot of times we have a process, but not everybody does it the same way.
Right. So the one thing I would, here's how I would start it. I would say, what is one process, the one that's the biggest pain, the one that's causing you the most frustration, the one that's keeping you awake the most and stressing you the most? Find that one process that seems like that there's something broken. And then now, after you do that, I want you to get a selection of your employees. In other words, people that just started with you, people that have been with you for a medium amount of time, people that have been with you for a longer amount of time. And I want you to give them a piece of paper and a pen, or put them in front of their computer. Don't let them talk to one another. Separate them out and have them take the time to write that process out. And tell them, you know, I just want you to write the process. Take as long as you want. Whatever it is. And then after you do that, I mean, you want to use a decent amount of your staff, read what they wrote.
It's amazing what you find, isn't it? It's kind of scary.
Yeah. And if you do 7 different people. Yeah.
Sit down when you read it.
Sit down, and you might want to actually
maybe do it at night with a glass of wine.
Yeah, your favorite beverage, adult beverage. So exactly. And just read through that process. And if you do 7 different individuals, I bet you're going to have seriously about 4 to 5 different takes of the process. And then after you do that, after you know that problem, then you train that process, the entire team, train them. And then every quarter, repeat the same process of putting them in a room and letting them do it. That process will improve. There we go.
So let's do that every quarter where we'll be able to evaluate and improve an existing process. So if you missed any of that, you can catch that on the iHeartRadio app, The Paul Potrat Show. When we come back, we'll be headed into the business breakdown with Paul, where he'll be taking your questions about business. To be featured on the business breakdown, give us a call now, 855-POTRATS. That is 855-POTRATZ. We look forward to hearing from you after the break.
It's time for the business breakdown.
The 7-minute on-air consultation for you.
Call now for your free business consultation with Paul and Samantha. 1-855-POTRATS.
That's 1-855-768-7289.
Now, let's break it down.
All right, so we're on the call with Cindy. So, Cindy, tell us your name and tell us what company are you with.
My name is Cindy. The name of my company is Cheek by Rez Cosmetics.
Okay, and what's your question for us today?
My question to you, Paul, is I'm going to redo my website. I'm finding that basically I'm getting more people that find me on Facebook and they want to go to my website to buy my cosmetics and my services. What do you recommend as far as the new do-it-yourself web builders? I mean, Wix, Squarespace. Which do you think basically would be good for a business such as mine?
Okay, good question. So here's a question back at you. What is the goal of the website? What I'm asking you more or less, are you going to be selling cosmetics on your website? Does it need to have more, you know, a checkout, a shopping cart, a way to search inventory, or is it just purely for, you know, for them to know who you are and be able to find a phone number and email?
It's actually going to be for both. So what I'm looking for to do, because a lot of the people that I find on Facebook are also from other states. They're not local, and they'd like to buy from me. So I want it to double duty. I want them locally to be able to find me, but also people can go on, see the colors, pick them, and actually order online as well.
Okay.
So with that, are we booking appointments and selling online?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So those are the two main features you're going to need to look for in any platform.
Mm-hmm.
So on the platform, you know, one of the things that I would say to look for, I mean, and things to be cautious with, and I'm going to give you an actual website platform to go with too, but things you want to be cautious with is a lot of the companies like Wix or Square, any of those, they prevent you from building any type of, for the most part, I mean, not 100%, but drastically prevent you from building any search engine optimization, otherwise known as SEO.
Okay.
So to clarify SEO, just to make sure we're talking the same language, search engine optimization is where you optimize your website to show up in search engines for free, not to
exactly.
be confused with SEM, which is search engine marketing, where we pay to get our website ranked. So those two, you know, like Wix and a number of those websites, I mean, you have to be cautious. Whenever a website is $9, I mean, you know, Intuit's doing it, a number of companies are doing it, but if a website's $9, $29, or even $199, there's a goal of what they're trying to achieve, and the goal they're trying to achieve is have you on their platform, capture, you know, stuff that you don't want them capturing, more or less, of your clientele. So you got to spend money to make money. I hate that term, but it's true.
It's true. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is true. But being a business owner, you also have to spend money wisely. So with the features that you're looking for, the first website platform I would look at would be WordPress. And
okay.
with WordPress, there's WordPress where it's hosted, you know, like on WordPress.com. I don't want you looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go to there's various websites like Theme Forest. So Theme, T-H-E-M-E, Forest,
okay.
all one word. You go there and you can pick out various website templates that would be e-commerce driven. And so you could buy a WordPress template. And that's generally anywhere from like $29 to, you know, $69. And then what you would do is you would go to a website like Fiverr, or which is F-I-V-E-R, hire a guru or any of those, and you can find an individual that is more of a certified in WordPress, because WordPress is what we call CMS, a content
right.
management system. And they can start building that website for you.
So I think that's important, though. So definitely write those down, because we don't want to just try and do it ourselves. We do want to use the individuals who know how to utilize the Theme Forest templates, for example, because that's what's going to get you that SEO. I think so many times we just try and do it ourselves to save some money. So here, definitely look at those individuals who can help us build that website, because it's going to be a cost once, and then it's going to return even more.
Right. And perfect. And there's one thing as a business owner that I always say, you know, so many times we're entrepreneurs and we want to do it ourselves, but try to minimize the working in your business and start working on your business. So WordPress is my first advice because I want to give you some variety. If it was me, I would probably go, where would I go, Sam? What do you think I'm going to say?
For another website vendor?
Yes.
I like Shopify. I don't know if that's where you're going, but that's where I would go.
That's where I was going, Shopify.
Ah, okay, Shopify.
Yeah,
okay.
And there's competitors to Shopify, too. I mean, that will allow the same thing, but Shopify is one of the first ones that was to the market. And what I do like about Shopify, it's very affordable, but they have a lot of what we would call plugins or widgets or integrations. So meaning that you could have, you know, Shopify is great. It has shopping cart. It has the checkout. And I mean, and a lot of times, and that's the thing with WordPress, I would caution you when you go to do that, you would be using something like WooCommerce, which is WOO Commerce. There you go. And the user interface on it, the usability is a little challenging and you would lose people. But Shopify, they really have it worked out and it ties in. So you could start your monthly newsletter, your email marketing newsletter. It's got a lot of upsell components. So I would say definitely check out Shopify.
And Shopify is a great platform too, because you can do some things as the business owner through it. So definitely take a look at that. And I'd recommend looking at your business plan for the future. Shopify has great plugins as you look to build and expand. You'll be able to keep the same website, but add those new tools that are going to really help you with those additional profit centers or that additional business initiative that you have.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, a lot of people are saying Squarespace is the way to go, but I mean, it's supposed to be similar to Shopify. So your thoughts on that?
I would say just go with Shopify. It's proven. And the reason that I say go with something like Shopify versus, you know, anything else like that is because procrastination is what kills a business. Just pick it and go. Mm. I don't think you can make a mistake in either one. So Cindy, thanks for your call. But our 7 minutes is up.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your help.
Thank you.
All right, so now we have our next caller for the business breakdown. And caller, who's on the line?
This is David Handy from Sharon Springs Garage at Sharon Springs, New York, Troy, New York, and Oneonta, New York.
Hi, David. So you're on the line with Paul. What is your question?
My question is, how do I know that I'm allocating the correct spend for digital versus traditional campaigns, and how do I calculate my return on investment on advertising spent more effectively?
Well, David, welcome. Thanks for calling. So with that, I'm going to spin you just a little bit different direction before I really answer that. With, let's say, digital marketing, with traditional marketing, tell me a little bit more, who are you trying to reach? Who's your client? And I like the word client versus customer, and I'll explain why in a minute. But who is your client? Can you really give me a makeup of who are they? What do they look like?
Well,
what do they
do? We have various different demographics. I mean, most of our customers, I think, are on the younger base from 25 to 35, and then we have a large base of 55 to 62 that are going to have their equipment yard needs and stuff paid for before they actually retire. We do have a large base of contractors that use excavators, skid loaders, and then we do have a farm base retail as well, but certainly, as time goes on, we're having more and more of people that are classified as sundowners that are, you know, working fairly good size acreage with horses or beef cattle or whatever, and doing it as a hobby. And those are the types of people that we're selling to and doing business with, as well as the general homeowner for mowing. We've kind of got a slogan that we have a machine for any reason during any season. So
okay, fair enough. All right, so basically you have a lot of different target markets is what you have. You have a lot of different, you know, demographics that you're trying to reach. And this is what I would encourage you to do, is you would want to build a campaign for each one, because there's not a, you know, a lot of times in traditional media, what we do with traditional, like radio, TV, newspaper, billboard, we base it on, hey, I want to reach a 25 to 54 male, or I want to reach, you know, 25, 54 male, female. And that's not the way we can do it today, because, you know, something crazy happened thanks to Al Gore, called the internet. And now you know, we go online and, you know, we do research, and that's, so that's, you know, it can get very confusing in that sense. So tell me, what is your number one profit margin? And what I mean by profit margin, what is your number one target that will generate the most revenue for you? Who do we want to go after first? Is it the farmers? Is it the individuals that, you know, have the hobby farms, you know, and we can go after all of them?
I would say it's the hobby farm people. Yes, that's the largest number of people I think that we're serving at the moment. We have, out of our Troy location, we have a significant number of people that come from Jersey, New York, whatever, and travel up to Vermont for skiing or have second homes. We have a significant amount of people in the Oneonta area that come up into Delaware County from the city area that have property as well. So it's property owners that might have animals. They may not have animals, but they do have acreage that needs to be taken care of. The only reasons that I can think that we're being as successful as we are is that people are not getting any money on their investments, and they've decided that they would like to try doing property maintenance and changes on their own.
Okay, fair enough. So what I would do then is you have to understand what are they. You have to understand what is their mind map. And I talk about a lot of that. And on my website, paulpotratz.com, I have a mind map. And this is an exercise that every business owner, every marketer needs to go through. And what a mind map will tell you is it's like what you want to really understand is what keeps them awake at night. And it could be keeping you awake stressing, or it could keep you awake that they're so excited that they're watching videos on YouTube and they're researching and they want to purchase, you know, maybe a John Deere versus a Kubota or, you know, whatever the tractor is. What kind of videos are they watching? How many kids do they have? What is their income? What do they do for hobbies? Because so many times we try to advertise and market to someone and hit them right between the eyes, hit them right over the forehead, or what I say, club them like a baby seal, and we don't want to do that. We want to become part of their daily activity, their daily life, because a lot of times what we do is say our competition is another place that sells lawnmowers and tractors, and that's not your competition. Your competition is one's time. Your competition is their aunts, their uncles, their nephews, and their friends. So when you're building your strategy, you say, how do I become part of their time? So now that we have a mind map and we understand what their hobbies, their interests, you know, what shows do they watch, what social media websites are they on, you know, all of that. What kind of cars do they drive? You know, where do their kids go to school and what keeps them awake? Now you can build a marketing strategy to reach them and really understand where it works.
So I think what you're saying there is when you build your mind map, you can find out who you're really trying to target. So you can find out where you spend your time. Then we need to look at how we review those analytics. So we need to understand where we can advertise and then how do we evaluate it?
Right. So to take it one step farther. So now we have a campaign and let's say it's a digital campaign that you're in, and hopefully you're not drinking the Google Kool-Aid. And I mean, keep in mind, we're an ad agency and we spend millions of dollars every month on Google, but Google has brainwashed business owners thinking they need to be on Google. And I do not agree with that. A lot of times we go on Google and spend money, but we have no idea what it's doing. So with that said, be cautious, but you are able to see in your analytics, what is my campaign? What is the message? And maybe the message is that you're talking about a mid-level, zero-turn Kubota lawnmower. And if you're running a campaign for that, how many clicks are you getting over to your website? But what's the conversion techniques on your website? Are you tracking the phone calls?
And we are tracking phone calls. We can basically have a recording of every phone call that comes in. We know that it comes from the web page or our Facebook page. We watch our analytics pretty closely. And as in the last year and a half, we did change our web page. We've had a lot of comments that people certainly think it's a nice web page, easy to get around. And we are seeing some additional business from that. I think it's been pretty successful in doing it, but it's
right.
Advertising dollars are just, you know, like you said, you spend a lot of money and you really aren't sure whether it's of a value or not.
So what I want you to do is I want you to set a benchmark, David. How many leads are you getting per month? How many phone calls are you getting per month right now? Pick out one campaign and say, this is my benchmark. What am I getting next month, and continue to track that. And as you tweak your campaigns and move money around, see if it goes up. It's really, it's as simple as that. Just think about how we do it traditionally in sales, and but do it digitally. I hope that helped. And if not, go to our website. We have a ton of information, a ton of videos that goes into this more. And you can always call back on the next show too. But David, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you.
Every week on the Business Breakdown, we'll be talking to three businesses about your questions. If you don't have enough time on the call like David didn't, or you're not able to make it into this week's episode, continue the conversation on the Paul Potratz Facebook page, where we'll be taking your questions throughout the week and featuring some of our social media questions on an upcoming episode. So how do you get on air with us? Well, that number is 855-POTRATZ. As Paul would tell you, it's 855-POTRATZ with a Z. So feel free to call in, let us know your company, your question, and your name, of course, so we can reach back out to you and get you on an upcoming episode. We have caller three calling in now. So hi, Brian, you're on the line with a Business Breakdown and Paul Potratz. What is your company name and what is your question?
I'm calling from Onata Outfitters. Our website's www.onataoutfitters.com. My question for you guys is, I'm from, you know, a startup company. So being a small startup company that's competing in the apparel industry, which is really competitive, what are the most effective ways to grab attention? We've tried social media and AdWords in developing our website, and we have our USP, but we don't really know how much we need to spend or what the most effective ways to spend our money are to make noise in the marketplace.
All right, fair enough. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for calling. So I would say definitely social media. I would stay away from AdWords. And boy, I sound like an anti-AdWords guy today. But it's just so costly to go an AdWords strategy. But I think about apparel. And when you say apparel, that's very emotional. That's something we put on our body and we get very emotional about that. There's a connection. Does that make sense what I'm saying right now?
Yeah.
So you have to have that connection. So what you have to do, not to steal somebody's term, but you have to build a tribe. And so the easiest way to build a tribe is definitely social media. So you're going to need a combination between paid social media and organic social media. But let me ask you a question, though. Your apparel, who is the target market? Who are you trying to reach?
We're trying to reach all millennials, but specifically in colleges and universities.
Okay. So if you're going after the colleges and universities, if that's your focus on that, then do your research. Where are those college students at? Where are they hanging out socially?
Is there anything unique about your company that would attract millennials to it, that's why that's your target market?
Yeah. So our focus is, we have six pillars, which are six charitable foundations, and proceeds from every single purchase goes towards one of those charitable organizations. So there's tons of different, I guess, messages, and whatever one the customer likes the best, they can choose where they want to donate that money.
Okay. So you're really trying to pull on the availability to purchase a product and then give back, which is why you've probably picked the millennial generation, aside from the fact that it sounds like you represent the millennials.
Yeah.
So within local colleges, organizations, universities, have you tried to partner with different associations at the universities that may correlate with the charities that your product parallels?
We have actually. In the past year, we've aligned with a few fraternities and sororities that have used our shirts in some of their days of giving.
Okay. What are some of the pillars of your shirts, for example? You use that as a reference.
So we have animal conservation. We have a pillar called Water is Life, which is giving clean water to children in Africa. We have solar electric, which is providing clean energy. We also have forest conservation as well.
Okay, so that's a good example there, I think, too. I mean, they all are. But what about local or chapters within the universities that are like Outdoor Pursuits, for example? Have you heard of that before? They're mm-hmm. outdoor programs, individuals who like to hike, do all of those. So obviously we need our forests to be able to do that. Have you tried to partner with those organizations to, for example, maybe label your t-shirt with their name even? Have you looked down maybe that opportunity? And then that would get you boots on the ground in the universities, and then you get more name awareness, and then it would drive traffic to your overall website.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question too, Brian, and that is, we're going through this and I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking about this and getting excited, but have you ever studied archetypes? And everybody's a different type. A business is an archetype. You have to, well, a lot of times a business should be an archetype, but they don't even understand mm-hmm. what it is. But archetypes, have you ever really looked into that and said, this is our archetype?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so archetype is archetype. So archetyped is how a business, you know, will have themselves perceived in a market. For example, one archetype is a lover, and you know, and it goes on. Then there's the rebel archetyped. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, you could form your company that, hey, we're going to be the archetype that we're a rebel. And like Geico, it's a different type of archetype, that they're more of like slapstick comedy in a way, you know, kind of funny, quirky, Jim Carrey feel. But I would, you know, really understand that. What is our archetype? And that's going to allow you to not only target those individuals that are really, you know, feel passionate about giving to a charity, because now you're just buying a shirt to be able to give to the charity, but it's a really cool shirt. But yeah. It allows individuals to really kind of single themselves out, be different than the norm. And I mean, that's the way a lot of us are, millennials, whatever, Gen Y, Gen Z, it doesn't make a difference. But that will help people really, I guess, attached to your social media strategy, attached mm-hmm. to your brand, have an identity. And that's what it's going to take to be able to really make an impact socially, instead of just being another t-shirt company. Because, I mean, there's a lot of t-shirt companies out there, and there's some really cool strategies that they have going on. But yeah. How do you create that archetype that people can, you know, connect to? And that's what you want to do, is create that connection. I say, get on social media and, you know, find those individuals that fit that archetype within a college, preferably those trendsetters, we call them lions, the ones that have a lot of followers, but a lot of engagement, and pull them in and make them more or less your advocates. And mm-hmm. you've got to have stuff that's going on every day. And I would say, you know, find some additional individuals. What's it called, Sam?
We want to find a social media influencer, essentially what you want to do, and then use mm-hmm. the individuals within your company and other customers to continue the conversation. But in specific geographic locations where you're looking to build your business, find local social media influencers. Instagram, great platform for you to be able to use. Facebook, great platform for you to be able to use. And that's going to get you some additional brand awareness, where you may want to spend your advertising dollars instead of just funding campaigns.
Right. Great. Exactly. And then what I would do is have them share and taking care of your Facebook business page. Was that called the admin status, more or less, Sam, or their editors?
Yeah, you can give them Facebook access without them being able to change and dictate anything for your business.
So they will help lead the conversation. So, Brian, great. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks so much. Bye.
So if you didn't get a chance to call in, it's not too late, I promise. We're going to be doing the business breakdown every week on the Paul Potrat Show. You can give us a call at 855-POTRATS. That's 855-POTRATS. And we'll select some of the best calls to be featured in an upcoming show.
That's Potrats with a Z.
That is for sure.
Okay. All right, Samantha, what day is it?
Well, I would tell you it's Sunday fun day, but I think it's really a day to plan our work week.
I agree. I mean, let's get a head start. Let's not procrastinate. Let's not waste time. Let's do what others are not willing to do. Let's get comfortable being uncomfortable.
So let's make a goal. Let's create an action item. What should our action item of the week be?
You know, today, were we on our business breakdown, where we had the callers call in and the questions, I kind of seen something that kept on evolving, and I kept on getting on the bandwagon about don't drink the Google Kool-Aid. And you know, pay-per-click can cost you a ton of money. And so I think about that. So what could we do? Are you ready? What could mm-hmm. we do that would allow us to grow our business or grow our opportunities as an individual? If we're looking for a job, we want a new job, or we want new friends, or maybe it's time we need a new husband or a new wife. If we just want to put that out there.
Don't look at me. I'm content.
Yeah, me too. I'm good.
But I think your point is, like, we need to create a network. We need to be out there, putting content out there, reaching out to other individuals outside of those that we already know.
So let's build our social media following. So let's get into that. Here's some action items for the week to build your social media following. Step number one, pick one platform. And I say Facebook.
But why one?
because it's just too much to start picking more than one, because then we get into that, you know, we get paralyzed because we have all this procrastination. What am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? And then it's, you set your goal. So right now.
Let's look at the calendar. Everybody get your calendar out.
Yes. And on your calendar, starting today, starting Sunday, and I want you to go to Facebook, and I don't want you to go and see what everybody's doing and all that stuff. I want you to just go to Facebook, and I want you to start searching for individuals. Grab those business cards out of your purse. Grab the business cards off the desk. Look into your CRM. Find people that you've done business with and start finding them on Facebook.
Okay, so I need to do this too. So what should my goal in over the next 2 weeks? I'm going to find everybody that I've ran into through business connections. I have a ton of business cards, probably even a lot of photos of business cards these days.
Right.
And friend them.
Yes.
That's my first action item.
First action item, but I want you to do it every single day. Every single day, I want you to put it on your calendar in the evening while you're watching TV, whatever it is. If you have to watch TV, make it dual process here, multitask, and spend, let's say, 10 minutes.
Okay. So we'll do that 10 minutes a day for the next 2 weeks. Let's build our friends, our following, connect as a business page. What's number two?
Set a goal. And your goal on your personal page is 5,000. You want 5,000 friends on your personal Facebook page.
Okay. So I'm going to post on your page for accountability today how many friends I have.
Okay.
Ooh, it's not a pretty number. And then right. In 2 weeks, I'll post again. You guys post with me so I'm not on my own island here, because it is not a great number, but let's build it. So I'm going to do that.
Right. And the value is, I mean, think about it. The more people you know, the more connections you have, the more you will be able to achieve.
Kind of like what you were saying to Brian earlier.
Right. And I mean, whether you want to grow a business, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a manager, don't use the excuses. A lot of times, oh, I don't want people to know what I'm doing. Well, guess what? When you go to your kid's hockey game, soccer game, whatever it is, you're meeting with the parents, you need to do the same thing. So these friends that you're connecting with, just connect.
Don't be so scared.
Yeah, don't be scared. No one's gonna bite you.
Do you have a third one?
Yeah, connect with me.
How do they find you?
So just go to Facebook and search for me, but I have two pages, so there's a warning. I have my personal profile, which is generally at 5,000, and so I'm maxed out. 5,000 is your max on a personal page, and then so or your personal profile. So I want you to click pages and then find me under the page. So there's a difference, personal profile, and then there's the celebrity page. So I have a celebrity page, find me on that, because that's where I post all the cool stuff.
So perfect. So that's what my goal is going to be then, is to be able to be cool enough to have a celebrity page, as well as all of everybody on the line today listening.
Right. And exactly. And you want to do that because it will open up so many doors, open up so many opportunities for you. Trust me. I mean, you know it better than anybody, Samantha. When we started our advertising agency, we had no advertising budget whatsoever. And we built our agency to what it is today by social media.
And it gives us a good opportunity to connect with our audience.
Yes, it does. And that will be step two that we'll talk about.
They can't see your fabulous outfit today.
No, they can't, but they should. And they should see my camouflage blazer. So
that's all the time we have today. Our actionable topics that we talked about, well, will Amazon put you out of business? How to keep the best employees and how to improve process in 3 easy steps. And last but not least, our action item of the week, which was get your social media following up there. Make a goal and commit to it. And that's not all. If you missed any of those topics, you can now listen on the Paul Potratt Show on demand on the free iHeartRadio app. Be sure to find and like the Paul Potratt's page on Facebook, where we'll be sharing strategies and continuing today's conversation again on the Paul Potratt's page.
You've been listening to The Paul Potratt Show. Paul is the architect behind Potratt's Advertising, an international consulting and advertising agency based in Schenectady, New York.
For more info or to learn how to work with Paul and the Potratt's team to grow your business and improve your processes, visit paulpotratz.com. That's Paul, P-O-T-R-A-T-Z.com.
And join Paul and Samantha next Sunday morning at 11, right here on WGY.